Lesson 3, working well together. When collaborating as a group, it is important to help the individuals involved to work well together. You will need to be able to communicate effectively and make decisions in a constructive manner. Sometimes there will be moments when a disagreement between group members will arise. It is important to be ready for such a situation so you can address it constructively. When you complete this lesson, you will be able to 1. Facilitate an effective meeting, 2. Help group members to take decisions collaboratively and address conflicts, and 3. Recognize the need to set standards for the ethics and accountability of your group. How do you hold an effective meeting? When working together as a group, you're most certainly going to find that you need to have meetings in order to share information, receive feedback, solve problems, plan activities, and make decisions. For this reason, it is critical that you understand a few important concepts and techniques to ensure that these meetings are effective and achieving your objectives. Use people's time well and don't require too much follow-up. Here is a checklist of major elements that are essential for planning an effective meeting. 1. Define the purpose of the meeting to ensure that all participants understand what anticipated outcomes of the meeting. 2. Invite the relevant participants. Try to avoid including those who do not really need to be there. 3. Find a location and time that is most convenient for most attendees. Take into consideration attendees' schedules and other commitments as much as possible. 4. Prepare and distribute the agenda to participants in advance of the meeting. This will ensure that all participants are aware of the purpose of the meeting so they can prepare to make an effective contribution. It will also provide direction and focus during the meeting itself. 5. Assign responsibilities. Every attendee should understand the meeting purpose as well as what contributions he or she is expected to make. In some cases, including assigned duties in the agenda is a good way to ensure people come prepared. Why is good facilitation important? In a meeting, the facilitator is responsible for ensuring that the meeting achieves its purpose by keeping the decision on track and making sure that all participants have a chance to contribute appropriately. Good facilitators should keep 2 important aspects in mind. 1. Did the meeting achieve its purpose? For example, did the group come to an agreement? Did a problem get resolved? 2. And how did the meeting go? For example, did participants feel that their perspectives were considered? Was it a good use of everyone's time? Here are some practical guidelines you can use to ensure that you have a well-facilitated meeting. 1. Begin and end on time. It is important to respect all participants' time. Starting late sends a signal that it is okay to be late, and ending late may interfere with some participants' schedules. 2. Use the agenda. Use the agenda as a tool for staying focused on the purpose of the meeting and ensuring that all participants are able to make their appropriate contributions. 3. Establish and use ground rules. Help the group establish explicit ground rules for the meeting. Examples include arrive and start on time, stick to the agenda, everyone participates, be realistic when accepting follow-up tasks, respect different viewpoints, and share responsibility for following the ground rules. 4. Ensure broad participation. It is important to ensure that all attendees have a chance to make contributions to the discussion. Sometimes certain individuals can dominate the discussion, and it is the facilitator's role to ensure that even quiet participants are able to express their opinions and ideas. And 5. Summarize. At the end of the meeting, summarize the discussion and the decisions made, tasks delegated, deadlines, and any action required by participants. What are some tactical methods used for making decisions? One of the most critical aspects of having an effective group is determining how you will make decisions together. In many cases, you will find that a participatory or consensus approach is needed. At other times, you may want a single individual to make decisions on behalf of the group. Often, you will mix styles based on specific situations. Here are three examples of the various kinds of decision-making structures and guidelines on when to use them. 1. Participatory or consensus decision-making. This type of decision-making is a facilitated process that allows everyone in the group to play a part and helps to ensure that decisions meet most needs of most people. This is a good way to ensure that traditionally marginalized voices are heard. It is best not to use this method if a decision needs to be made quickly, if there are no good alternatives, and if the issue is trivial. 2. Majority decision making. This approach is when members of the group take a vote and the majority choice becomes a decision. This method is useful when decisions need to be made more quickly, but still benefit from group contribution. However, it can result in some subgroups or factions feeling marginalized or left out if they're consistently being outvoted. And 3, individual decision-making. This method is when one person makes decisions on behalf of the group. It is useful for routine tasks, but should also be used sparingly and not used when making substantial decisions that affect the group widely. What are some ways to manage conflict in a group? Conflict within a group is inevitable. However, there are ways that you can work with the other members of your group to deal with the conflict so that it does not lead to resentment or spur future conflicts. There are generally considered to be 5 different ways that people respond to conflict. 1, forcing. Using formal authority or other power that you possess to satisfy your concerns without regard to the concerns of the party that you're in conflict with. 2, accommodating. Allowing the other party to satisfy their concerns while neglecting your own. 3, avoiding. Not paying attention to the conflict and not taking any action to resolve it. 4, compromising. Attempting to resolve a conflict by identifying a solution that is partially satisfactory to both parties, but completely satisfactory to neither. And 5, collaborating. Cooperating with the other party to understand their concerns and expressing your own concerns in an effort to find a mutually and completely satisfactory solution, or win-win. In most situations, you will want to encourage a group to use a collaborative approach to managing a conflict to achieve a productive outcome. If the conflict is related to differences in opinion about the direction of the group or program strategies, refer to some of the techniques described in the decision-making section of this lesson to help the group to collaborate better together on collective decisions. If the conflict is more personality-driven, below are some strategies you can use to help resolve conflicts effectively. 1, recognize the conflict. While many people may prefer to avoid conflictual situations, it is better to recognize the conflict or difference of opinion and attempt to deal with it head-on. If you ignore or avoid it, it can lead to increased stress and unresolved feelings of resentment that could cause damage later. 2, take time to reflect. Before directly addressing the difference of opinion or conflict with the other person, take some time to think about the situation and discuss it with a friend or family member. Think about what you want to say to the person with whom you're having the conflict and rehearse the main talking points you want to get across. 3, have a one-on-one meeting. Meet with the person face-to-face in order to talk through the issues causing the conflict. It is better to meet in person rather than communicate via phone or email because you can have a more active discussion and use nonverbal tools. 4, consider using a mediator. If your situation is particularly challenging and you have not been successful working it out directly with the other person, you might invite a neutral third party to act as a mediator. A mediator can remain objective, listen to both sides, and facilitate resolution and compromise. 5. Apologize when appropriate. Even if the conflict is not entirely a result of your actions, be aware of your own part in creating the conflict. This can be an important political statement. You are organizing to keep things moving forward, not to be right. 6. Minimize potential for conflict. You can help to minimize the potential for conflict in several ways. First is to choose your battles. Second, develop good working relationships with others in your group and be respectful of others. Finally, make an effort to express yourself clearly and ask for what you need or want in a respectful way. The importance of ethics and accountability. There are several practical reasons why groups should want to behave ethically, accountably, and responsibly. First, it is important for the members of the group to feel confident that they can trust one another. Second, it is important to maintain a good reputation with other members of your community to help build respect and credibility for the work that you do. By upholding basic ethics, groups will find that they encourage better participation and collaboration from their members and demonstrate to their community that they can be trusted representatives. Moreover, you will build credibility with those outside the organization that might help you in building partnerships and broader support.